Turunduse tulejoonel.
And now we continue with the main topic, that is business-to-business touch points. And in order to start the conversation, I would like to remind that during Tallinn Marketing Week, it was roughly a month ago, you, Natalia, and Mikael both presented a very powerful solution for business-to-business communication planning, which is based on customer touch points. And we all know how important the touch points are in end-user communications and how to plan and how to design. But you brought in a very different angle showing how we should think differently. And if we start from the very beginning, what you say is important when starting to build the business-to-business relationship?
Well, it's all about business, first of all, but then you think that it's people who make business. So first of all, you have to be aware all the time. And in B2B, it's a bit more complicated that you actually build a relationship first of all, and then that's where the sales starts. So if you look at this way, like that, first comes the relationship and then the touch points and the goal of each touch point, then it changes your whole communication system completely, actually, because you look on each touch point from that point of view. What is the value for the client of this certain touch point? What do I give when we communicate with the business card, with presentation, with our event booth, etc.?
Yeah, and I would also add that if you remember, we started from comparisons on how your personal relationship looked very much like the way your business relationship looks. And the thing is, we do need to build relationships that don't just happen by themselves. And that's what in business especially, you've got to pay attention to. It's relationship from one side, but from the other side, it's a strategy of how you actually build them. And that's what we wanted to make a point of when presenting at the marketing conference. It's important to take care of your relationships and not just let them flow, because they may take you in a different direction.
Can you give me a good example about that?
About personal relationship?
How to start building a relationship. Why I'm asking is that in Estonia, sometimes I feel, or not only sometimes, but very often, that there are two separate lives. One is business life and the other one is personal life. And it seems to be that we don't want to, to draw too many parallels between the life, because they seem to be in totally different worlds. And that's why we expect that when we have the first meeting with our business-to-business customer, that after that, it's already, we are expecting to sign a contract. So we expect to proceed it very fast, we expect to get results very fast, and if we don't get, then we say that the probably our strategy doesn't work. So that's why I would wanted to ask that. Okay, give a good example from business to business world. What are the steps, or what are the first touch points you should create in order to start creating a relationship?
Yeah, it starts from the, I would say, philosophy of how you build your relationships. Before you move on to drawing your map on how you approach and follow up your client, you need to first of all realize on how you actually position yourself in that process. Is it about formal steps that you need to take and everything will work out, or it's rather about how you interact with people, how you make sure you understand them, and how you make sure that you're actually making their day as opposed to trying to making a sale? We do hear quite a lot about the approach that I just mentioned in bigger companies, the ones that are getting more successful. The point is that the closer your company, or the closer the way you interact with people to a the way they call it, a biological state of the process or of the company, the better. That means that if you interact with people in a natural way, the way they actually like to be treated or the way they would like to build a relationship with you, you have a better chance of succeeding as opposed to just following the rule or trying to set up a system that, that's mathematical to a certain extent. So answering your question on how you build the relationship, first of all, you need to be genuinely interested in what this person is about and what are their needs on every point of interaction with you. And that's the key. Because if you want to build your company around the consumer, and we know that's what is going to take you forward, and that would make you competitive as well, then you need to understand what this person needs and what are the pains that you can help them with. And that's how you build your system then, understanding that at this point of time, this person is first of all looking for information and what kind of steps they are making to actually find it. Well, make sure you are there and make sure you understand what's the state of mind and how you can take the client or the business from here to the next step, making it as short as possible for them to fulfill their task is the way you build the touch point map.
Well, I came up, I just have a couple of examples from the practice, just recent examples. One of them is we've heard from one of our clients who said that the clients, managers that work with clients, new clients at Yandex, one of the largest IT companies in Russia, they changed their approach in the following way. Well, they do want to have more corporate clients, but at the same time, they own tremendous amounts of information. It doesn't take too much effort for them to summarize and to, well, launch a small program that will summarize 2-3 page information document for the client that they are about to meet. And what they do is they bring this document for free to that client meeting and say, hey, we know you're interested in this information. We give it to you for free. And it doesn't matter if you buy anything from us or not. It's not a discount. It's not something you will pay for later. It's just for us to show you that we are interested in your moving forward. And that's one of the things. And I think that's... that sort of changes the view on the client-customer-client relationship quite a lot, because it says, okay, it doesn't matter if we do business or not, there is something that I can do for you already, and it doesn't, well, cost me much effort. And the second example is in B2C, well, it's always, there's so many touch points that it's a bit difficult to follow all of them. And this contact is very rarely will be personal. In business, you do business with more with people. And that's where I was surprised myself that one of my clients, I think it was quite some time ago, that he said, he noticed some of my articles that I wrote on a completely non-business topic. It was something about my personal thoughts on how I think about the vision of my life and how do I plan my life, how do I plan my morning. And there is a series of articles on a public resource, and he read it. And from that point, our communication was more... I would say more understanding, came to a different level because he saw a person whom he could trust because we were talking about things that bothered both of us on a similar level. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely it does. But if we go even one step back, can you describe what could be the business-to-business touch points at all to make it really clear what we are talking about, or interaction points?
Okay, every time you have an interaction with a client or a prospective client, that's your touch point. And for example, everything that starts from awareness creation and ending up with loyalty increase, that every time that your consumer interacts with anything you do or any information is what the touch point is. So we may start from a cold phone call, and that will be one touch point, and that may be the first time your client gets awareness of the fact of your existence. Or it may be an advertisement in a magazine or online. It will also be a touch point.
And business card as well.
A business card as well. It's a first touch point that you are having at that particular time. Then you move on from the first touch point. You move to the other touch point because you are usually not getting the deal right after your first meeting with a person. So you need to expand your knowledge about the consumer, and you also need to offer something that is really relevant, and that's when you create the intention to buy. And you may have several stages at this particular time. The shorter you make them, the better, because everybody wins. Then you have your purchase at a certain point, and then you move on to loyalty after your implementation. And so it's from left to right to make it easier. And you, for instance, if we have, let's say we have a hotel as an example, the one that we showed at the conference, you will have a reception as a touch point when the consumer comes to reception, and they have certain expectations at that point, and they have certain goals at that point. And you manage that touch point in a way that makes him most satisfied. You can have a room experience as another touch point. That's when the consumer comes into the room, and the smells and the way it looks and everything creates an experience. And that's also a touch point. And you have a checkout, and that's also a certain touch point that would guarantee you some future positive feedbacks, or maybe not. And that's how it works.
Excellent. Thank you for explaining. It's much easier now to talk about it. So how should each touch point be treated in business-to-business communication?
Well, you have several parameters on how you can actually improve the experience. And first of all, you need to understand what are the goals, like I said, what are the goals behind the touch points from the other side. So what your consumer is interested in getting at a certain point. And once you know that, you can build your system around it, and you would know what are your tasks in this particular touch point, and you match them. So if you have a consumer who wants the quickest service, let's come back to the reception example. So everything they want is actually get their room quicker. Maybe it's a dominant need at this particular time. Then make sure you build your touch point in a way that meets that expectation. So you would have your task at this point, what you need to do to satisfy the consumer and move that consumer to another touch point. You would have a cost attached to that particular touch point, and you will have supportive materials that you need to make the experience better. It may be a handout or anything that you would give out to consumers so that they feel themselves comfortable. You will have a conversion rate from your first touch point to the second, and so on. What else? Well, these are the biggest ones.
I think that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the main ones. And it's actually quite easy to calculate all of them. If you lay them out on the table, and as we were trying to do that during the marketing theater in Tallinn, it might be a bit challenging to start with, but when you put them all all those, if you list all those touch points and you try to see what are the chains and how they interact, those customer journey chains, it's actually, it might be a bit difficult to say, okay, how do I measure conversion? What is the cost of the certain contact point? But then, I mean, come on, we all know how much time and money we spend on certain client and certain presentation. We can give an expertise and provide at least estimate of the cost and to sort of give us some baseline to count from and then calculate all the rest. And it's really very interesting how you can see where you spend more money and it gives less outcome, I would say.
I would also like to add, if we do have time, one important note on the system. It's quite simple, and we intentionally keep it basic, integrating just the major but very important parameters. And the reason is we know that every touch point can be decoded to millions of details, starting from your, let's say you have a telephone call, you can measure what's the music on the other side of the phone when your consumer call you, how much time they spend waiting for you to pick up. You can go as detailed as you can possibly imagine to make sure your system is perfect. The reason is, and what we observe, is that the majority of businesses do not come that far and they do not have the system integrated to begin with. The one that can later allow them to optimize their processes and communications. So we do not build the system complicated so that consumers will have to spend a lot of time, you know, implementing it. It's quite simple. You can easily set it up and move on with your effectiveness increase.
We were just recently at a business event, and there was a girl who said that she has 180 touch points. Can you imagine that? 180. 180.
And it's a lot.
How can you manage it?
you mean in business to business or business to consumer?
I think she was in consumer.
Okay. Wow.
But still, I mean, it's our major advice is like if you try to build your contact chains, keep them simple, and because there's no way you can manage 180 points. And to be honest, if you rate them and prioritize, probably let's say 25%, maybe less of them give you most of the feedback and money from the clients, most of the loyalty. So if you, well, it's good to know that you have so many, but then rate them and try to sort of structure them into larger groups, maybe. I mean, because it's impossible to manage the system of 180 contacts.
Absolutely, absolutely. If I come back now to the business-to-business environment, I know that several people listening to us are thinking that, oh my God, what touch points are you talking about? We call our customers, we ask them if they are interested with them, send them an offer, and then we call and ask if we can close the deal. So what are the touch points? And the problem often is that we call thousands of companies and the conversion rate is very low.
Excellent, because that's exactly what we're sure can be improved a lot. And one important word that we can tell to these people is strategy and consciousness in a way how you approach your everyday habit. There is a certain amount of the way we are used to working that prevents us from doing better every day. And if you do have the sequence that you just mentioned, first of all, look at it from the side of where you spend your resources and what's the conversion coming out from each effort you are making, and get a strategy. Because if you keep doing all the same throughout the many, many days or weeks or months, and you think that you can do better, draw a map and make sure that you visualize what else you can do or how you can improve what you have. The fact of making that map, the thing of just drawing the map, will help you so much that you would find it really unbelievable. It's like getting from blind to getting your vision, your sight again. Just try to put it on together, and you will see the way to go.
Well, the way I see it is like if you look at your client as a cow where you need milk from.
Okay, yeah, it's a very good comparison. Go on.
Okay, I don't need milk. So, okay, she needs to be, or it needs to be, in a good place. I have to feed her three times a day, and then once a day I'll come for my milk. And it depends on the food that I give, the milk will be better or worse. Or maybe classical music can also help. And this is sort of a consumer approach. But if you treat the client as your, it might sound too big, but if you treat your client as your friend, you don't call your friend only when you are in need of a friend, when you need milk. You try to build your relationship. You call and say, hey, there's this concert, would you like to go? Or I've got this spare ticket, do you want to use it? And it's not intended for anything that you take. It's something that you give. So if you... It's good that you, if working at the company, it's good that you understand those major touch points that lead to sale in a normal, let's say, way. Hey, here I am. There's my commercial offer. There's presentation. Are you ready to buy? Can we sell you something else? But there's much more in between those touch points. It actually, that's what makes relationship as it is. There's much information, a lot of information that goes around the client that maybe it's difficult for the client to find the way through, or some other points that something that you don't sell to the client but would fill his need in some other field. And that what builds a real relationship. If you know what your client is about, if you draw this map, it will help you see what is the content of each contact. It's not like, okay, it's been a week, now it's time to call. What do I do? No, it's been a while. Here's good information for you to know. Here's a summary of marketing events that I came across. Would you like to see it? Something like that. Something more natural looking, I would say.
So instead of cold calling and pushing people to decision making, it would be smarter to nurture them and help them to reach the decisions themselves.
Well, I would say that there should be a combination of both. Because of course you have to start somewhere, and some people will not tolerate personal relationship. So it always depends, and in B2B it depends even more, because you know the person who is decision making, and you know what kind of person he is or she is, and you know how far you can go. And as we understand already about Estonian community, that okay, don't go into my personal life, it's none of your business. And if you remember, there was a lady at from Sweden who said that no one writes on Facebook in Sweden because it's considered to be a private life invasion. So it's not that direct and simple. But if you see a person behind the word client, it gives you a lot more opportunities in business as well.
But on the other side, I also know that people who are I don't know, arguing or would argue with you, would say that, but kind of, hello, I need results from my business, and probably pushing clients to make a decision would still reach faster results than just sending them information without knowing if they will make the decision or not.
Well, it's again about the combination. If you only will say, okay, here's information, and there's another one, and then there's another piece of information, and there's no call to action, of course, it becomes a bit like voluntary non-commercial organization. Of course, call to action has to be somewhere, but it will look more natural, and if you have more trust from your client, knowing that, and he knows that you are the one that can be trusted, because you've already done so much for him, then it's easier to sell.
And if we come back to the principles of building up the touch points, you can evaluate for yourself which way is most effective, because in some businesses maybe it's better to move like you said, and you need to close the deal and it works. But in many other cases, you build the relationship first, and then it's much easier to make that deal and get the second deal and the third one. And one of the relationship marketing principles that we can advise is to actually give away, and it's a well-known principle that you can share and use, is give away what you can give away quickly and easily because you are an expert in your field. And that demonstrates that you know a lot and that you is willing to share, and people know that they will come to you when we have a need and will pay you they're much more confident in paying you because you already showed them that you know a lot. That's how you build a relationship before making the sale. And that's something that can also be used.
Absolutely. To sum up the discussion, if you both would give kind of three most important suggestions, what to do in order to increase efficiency in business-to-business communication, what would you suggest to a company?
We'll probably repeat ourselves, but first of all, get a strategy. Communications should not be historically set up or historically structured. Look at the way you communicate and identify the points that are important to you. And once you have the strategy, you can work on it and you can make it more effective, because there is something that you have already set up in your mind and you can share it with your team, and you all have one point or a map you are looking at. And interestingly, how many people in the same organization have a very different view on how communication structure goes. Once you have that understanding of the strategy ready, you will understand, all of you in one company will understand how you should move forward, and it will actually build up a much stronger team and a much stronger company.
Okay.
Then, first of all, you have a strategy, and then make sure that strategy is built around the client. Make sure you know that at every point you have a touch point with that consumer, you know what they are expecting from it. And once you understand that, you will be able to suggest at each point a solution that will keep you going with that client. And then the third improvement that you can make is to actually try to improve that conversion from one touch point to the other. And you have several instruments that will help you do that. You can rearrange the steps. You can choose different channels to attract your consumers, or instead of writing, let's say you make a phone call, or instead of phone call, you will actually have a meeting, providing that it's cost effective. You may have different advertising materials you bring to the meeting. you may dress yourself differently. It's multiple improvements that you can make at every touch point to increase the conversion. It's very important because you make a lot of efforts to attract the consumer, and you spend a lot of money to actually make sure your pipeline is filling. The more people you can take through that, the better for you, and at a certain point of time, you may actually leave on your loyal clients, as opposed to constantly searching out for new and new people and putting them through the pipe and, you know, continue the cycle.
Oh, well, if it would be for my 3 points, it's very interesting, because while Michael was talking, I wrote down my 3 points, and it looks like two of them interact directly with what you've just heard, so I'll try to be short. First of all, my recommendation would be is to be simple and personal in communications in every touch point to extent that's comfortable to you and the client. So to make yourself understandable, and that could mean like a lot of things. Make simple business cards, make infographics, add infographics in your materials, sum up in your conversations. Okay, we've talked about this now, this is what we do. So simple and direct communication. My second point would be is similar to what you've just heard already, is ask questions and talk to your clients to get more feedback. How does it work for you? There's no research, no internet will give you more information than direct conversation with several clients, deep conversation. And the third is any system should be flexible. And again, you've heard that already, that it has to work for you, and it has to work for the markets, and it has to be comfortable for the client as well. So simple, communicative, and flexible.
Thank you, and thank you for the good summary. I really hope that now after the show, our companies also start to draw the business to business touchpoint maps and look at the conversions and calculate the efficiency and also cost of every point. That will really, let's say, demystify the business to business communication. That I think is very, very important.